Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The all-new Bernstein and McKnight Show.
MLB Food Fest. Each team will be serving one signature item.
Lard ho!
The Seattle Mariners is my personal favorite, and one we've talked about before in these airwaves, toasted grasshoppers.
You're big into the whole fried insect thing, aren't you?
It will save the world.
You're into this.
For environmental reasons.
My lord.
What are you about this guy? This is hog.
It's really important that people embrace the eating of insects and learn to love it because it could solve a lot of problems.
No.
I've had crickets. I've had grasshoppers.
I shouldn't have asked. I should not have asked.
Ants. I have had ant eggs.
This is a first aid mistake that I will never
Get back. I've had a scorpion.
It's disgusting. You're like an animal.
What? I'm disgusting.
You're the weird one, man. Don't make me feel weird. I'm normal.
Dan Bernstein. Connor McKnight.
And Dave.
Also.
Sorry, Dave.
Middays on the Score.
I didn't catch that second part the first time.
And Dave.
Bernstein and McKnight between now and 1. It is a special show thanks to the fine folks at Dos Equis. We are live at Deuces at 3505 North Clark Street in Wrigleyville. We are going to preview the NCAA tournament with Sam Vecini of The Athletic at 10:40. Anthony Herron is going to join us on site to talk a little football at 11. Hub Arkish is going to do the same right here at noon.
It's the Dos Equis that brought them all out, isn't it?
Why not?
They just couldn't say no to it.
And all of these screens with all of the sports and all the games and all the things for them, including, by the way, Tiger Woods at 2 under par already at the Arnold Palmer.
Going to be watching. Started on the back nine and birdied, what, his third and fourth,
yep.
I think?
Yep.
As he goes. I cannot. I told you this yesterday after the show. Kind of milling around and meeting with some people and saying hello and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot. And this was before even Tiger got himself into contention last weekend. I cannot wait for the Masters.
Oh.
I want all of it. I want the poetry. I want the flowers. I want Amen Corner. I want Jim Nantz and his effusive praise for God knows what. I can't wait.
It's great television. The Masters in our living rooms on these giant screens, mm-hmm. the way they do it, all of the flowery production, the tinkling piano.
The music
and
in and out of some jazz club watching golf.
That's the best. It is the best. And we've got giveaways today also. There's going to be two chances at $1,000 in our national text giveaway, so be listening for those keywords to win. We are also, at some point independent of that, going to give away $670 in cash. That's just on us. That's just because we love you here in the Bernstein and McKnight Show. And we're going to qualify another Cubs season ticket finalist. So you have to listen for the cue to call to win. 312-644-6767 is our number at WSCR The Score. We are on Twitter at Bernstein_McK. I am at Dan_Bernstein. He is at C1 McKnight. You can text us at 67011. When you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. You can also get on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page, and you can enjoy all the conversation there. And we have our video feed. That's at watch670thescore.com, Facebook Live. That's directed by Brian Gertsch. Our engineer is Danny Nocheese. Producers Jay Zawoski and Rick Camp and Mike Chen is back there working the phones as well with him. So I know it's a basketball day,
yes.
And that's fine. But when Tiger Woods is already setting out to scorch a golf course, it's a different sports world when that guy's doing what he does. Did you see that he's zoomed up the board because of betting pressure and is now the Masters favorite?
The favorite, because it had been McIlroy and Spieth on top of him in odds, what, like 4 or 5 days ago? So now he is on top.
And it has to just
of course it is. It's people. See, the thing about watching that guy play golf, obviously there's redemption story, there's talent, there's greatness, there's the chase of Jack, which, you know, I don't know if you think he gets there or not. I suppose the odds on that would probably be against. But I think a big piece of it is you watch that kind of stuff and feel a sense of, whether it's good for you or not, you feel a sense of nostalgia.
He's the clear favorite. He's 13-2 at Bovada.lv. 13-2.
Give me the three guys behind him.
Three guys behind him are Jason Day at 11-1, and then Rory McIlroy and Justin Rose both at 14-1. Ricky Fowler at 16-1. Man, Tommy Fleetwood, a guy we talked about, he's zoomed right up to 22-1. I got to start. Where's my guy Leishman? Yeah, well, see, I should have gotten my bet in on Leishman before, because he's now at 35-1.
Tiger flying up the boards like this and flying up the odds like this means there's going to be a lot of really nice buys toward the middle of that pack, too. Some good value buys if you want to slide a couple together and make some bets on the Masters and see what happens.
847 texter says, Dan, my body's confused. I hear your voice, and it's time for lunch, and I haven't finished my coffee, and you're on the air. Hey, it's all new. It's all good. And I will tell you this. If you want to eat that, and several people have tipped us off
a
to
number,
this.
Yeah.
When they found out that we were at Deuces here in Wrigleyville, they said the food is outstanding.
I live across, it's a home game for me, right. And I have not had a chance to come in here for the food yet, and I may just have to before we get out of here. The recommendations have been off the chart.
All I know is that the bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit that I just plowed down was about as ideal as it could be.
That was kind of terrifying to watch, by the way.
Sorry. I'm sorry you had to see that.
I didn't realize that you could eat that quantity of food in a span of 45 seconds.
It's radio eating.
It was terrifying.
It is a skill that one has to learn. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about the tournament, about different guys in your workplace today, because you know who we're talking about and who to not be and who to avoid. And
but if you're going to be that guy, get into it.
Yeah, go hard.
Embrace it.
Right. Really, really be that guy as hard as you can. So we'll talk about that and more. 312-644-6767. Happy tournament day. We're out. Come out, have a Dos Equis, and hang out with the Bernstein and McKnight Show on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This segment's brought to you by Dell. Small businesses get tailored tech solutions when they partner with Dell, plus free shipping and a price match guarantee on everything, including laptops with Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL. Do not be multiple bracket guy. It's okay. If you want to do it, I used to say, just never do it, and you're a horrible human being if you fill out multiple brackets. And what I'm saying is,
really, you had one stance on a thing and demeaned and wanted to lay into everyone. Okay,
correct.
All right.
Because different permutations.
Just wanted to make sure.
I guess I have to amend what I used to initially think about multiple bracket guy.
That's good.
You can do it. Just you're not allowed to say anything about it. You can't say, I had that in one of my six brackets. You can, when the upsets start coming in, or you can't say, yeah, I'm winning this pool, winning that pool. Oh, sure, if you've given yourself all of the different possibilities with every possible combination, yeah. But if I will admire you if you're one bracket guy and you called three of the four major upsets. That's because that's on your bracket.
I want to hear the only things I want to hear about your bracket, anyone else's bracket, is whether if it sucks, tell me that's fine, and then we're done. Or how many of the final four you have left? Those are the conversations
okay.
I want.
Is that determinative usually? I don't know enough about how these things work.
It's just a decent enough place to start in the conversation. You get to say that, you get a taste of what the person's bracket is like, and then you move on and enjoy the nonsense of the day.
The 206 asks about what of the mythical multiple bracket sphinx. I don't know of that, but if what's happened to this day and what's happened to this process is, like everything else, smart people and serious gamblers have made it unbelievably complicated.
Well, they found a way to take people's money who just enjoy filling things out based on mascots and team color and names they've heard before.
But you get the Parkins 5-hour energy thing we were talking about.
That's fantastic.
Being able to jump off a horse and onto another horse and undo your bet and all that stuff. Did you read the Teddy Greenstein breakdown of the Calcutta arrangement?
Jimmy actually has done a Calcutta before in the office and
okay.
has had those kind of auctions and draft. I wasn't able to do one. I find I would probably get lost in the math at some point.
That's the thing. is that it, I understand you pick games and you hope you pick the games correctly, but now they're telling us there's a lot of math involved, and yeah, it starts to lose me a little bit.
I've never done even like an auction draft, whether it's fantasy football or fantasy baseball, mostly because I have an interest in doing it, but it's tough to find the people who want to play at the same pace that you want to play, whether it's the bracket, whether it's your league or whatever, and also want to do an auction league. Because once you put all those things together, your own idiocy in picking teams or players really comes out. Because you outbid yourself. You pull a Jim Hendry going on with an Alfonso Soriano, and you just start throwing things around that you don't really need to throw around.
I also am wary today. And listen, every office is different. And because we do what we do, we don't really have the classic office environment that others have.
No.
Cubicles and, the guy that comes over to the door of your office while you're... There's maybe present company accepted here, alma mater guy.
Right.
I was giving Mulligan crap, but he's allowed because...
Of course he's allowed. For 33 years?
But it's like... pick whatever major program it is, like Kansas guy or
Kentucky guy.
Like,
it's Kentucky guy.
Is it?
Yeah, for me it is.
Is it from personal experience or
I think a little bit. I think a little bit from the Tubby Smith days and from, those early, before Calipari got there. Since then, I've kind of mellowed some, I think, on that program, if maybe not the fan necessarily, but Kentucky guy.
But I get it. You went to college there.
Mm-hmm.
You went there. Yeah, that was your college, and it's just the, and you know it's coming, and you know it's like, oh, this is the time of year where he's going to be full blown Wisconsin guy.
I'm usually able to hold it back until you ask. Like I'm not gonna pronounce it myself. I mean, how much of a hypocrite would I be if I didn't want to hear about your bracket other than these two very specific qualifiers? But also walked in with the Motion W all over my body. Like, that wouldn't be great.
I used to joke about it was more Michigan football than Michigan basketball, but it was like the black Volvo with the Go Blue license plate holder. And by the way, Hub is going to be joining us at 12, so I'm not trying to subtweet anybody.
Put the vans, the flags on the van, the ones you roll up into the window and they snap in the breeze on your way through.
Yeah, you know.
You know a true fan if you've got the really tattered flag?
I was just going to say, no, That's not a true fan. That's a crazy person, because if you drive your car that often with those fan flags rolled up into the windows, that they're already reduced to shreds.
You know what it is too.
Not to mention the gas mileage you're losing because of the drag coefficient.
Yeah, that's something that a true fan.
That's all
is
I
really
think about when I see those flags. I'm thinking about like a drag chute on
other
there. Like
people,
what decimal point of
other
gas
people
mileage.
Drive with rage and can't stand a blinker on, and Dan's driving around screaming about gas mileage.
I'm not
out
screaming
the
about
yes,
it. I'm just acutely aware of it. Because I've got an entropy problem that I'm always thinking about.
Well, you're not going to fix that.
An entropy problem?
No, it's coming.
Are you telling me order will always tend to disorder?
You are not going to stop entropy.
Damn it!
Yeah, your fight into the darkness is not going
to... No, it's not trying to stop order tending to disorder and chaos ultimately reigning as the universe expands and everything expands.
Watch Cthulhu descend from above and worship him and his might.
From below, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's been actually multiple places.
Don't tell me there's more than one.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, yeah, absolutely. There's an above and below.
No, that's really
as above,
bad.
So below.
Now it's even worse. Thank you. So now I've got two Lovecraftian horrors in the back of my head thanks to this idiot. Great. We've got
anytime.
More to come after an update as we get you ready. I know that's just two, multiple bracket guy and wacky alma mater guy. And no, I will answer this texter in a moment. No, I am not that. So. Okay.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Thank you, Joe O. And no, I'm not Duke guy 708.
No, you're very much not.
I'm not. I loved my time there. I love the education that I got there from some fabulous, fabulous professors whose words still resonate to this day. And it was a fabulous 4 years. But my connection to the basketball program really just not there.
There's a lot of ways that could have been severed. I could see it. I'm not done. I need to ask you about your Loyola issue here.
It's not an issue.
Okay.
I think I'm very clear about it.
Your column, then. Semantics aside. Okay. Loyola is now everybody's favorite little Cinderella, at least in the Midwest, right? They've got a good matchup against Miami, one that they've got a chance to go ahead and win. They play great defense. They shoot from distance. They are that team that a lot of people are picking. SI has them as everybody's favorite Cinderella, right?
Okay.
I guess my question is more so about how the next step goes. Like, what's not? Why is it not enough? I suppose that they're here and making
it
steps
is.
Toward the future.
It is. But you have to be aware of the big picture when celebrating something like this. That I do think that you can tell yourself that this is the new normal. That this is now we get a taste of this and it's going. But the truth is, usually these smaller teams will have a small window of opportunity, largely based on the force of personality and the drive from that one coach.
I want to celebrate this. I want a win. I want that atmosphere here in town. Hopefully, you know, you're able to get it. You and I did a show a handful of years ago, and I don't know if you remember, we got to talking about DePaul hoops. And what it was like for you specifically the last time they were good, you know, in that early 2000 run. And how,
that's what I was doing play by play.
How important it was and how much of a community event it was here. It would be, I think, for this city, I think for a fan base that would, you know, it's such a segmented place here in Chicago with regards to, you know, college basketball, college football rooting interests, right? I mean, you've got your Big Ten bars.
It's not
and
a
you've
college
got
city.
It's
at
not.
All, in any way.
But there are fan bases that want to enjoy it and get into it. And I'm not saying that there's going to be a uniting force if DePaul wins a bunch of games or Loyola goes, you know, deep into a tournament and sustains something. It's always going to be somewhat segmented. But I think there is a little bit of, I don't know, civic pride or at least hoop pride that could be kind of, you know, drummed up by a couple of wins, by some sustained success.
Oh, if they win two games, it's going to be crazy.
That's what I'm talking
about. No, I don't doubt that at all. That's because we love the latest thing. I just think that is because of the...
Who's the we? The tournament, just to be clear, the tournament viewer, or Chicago basketball fan?
I think this time of year, and this is just, if you're actually asking for just off the top of my head analysis here.
I am.
The Cubs aren't playing yet. The right. Sox aren't playing yet.
Okay.
The Bulls are dreadful, and the Hawks are dreadful. That right now, I do think that we're looking for
anything
something.
Will fill the vacuum.
And there are it's just not a big college basketball town. But you know, and people can get mad at me. But a cute story like that becomes bigger than it otherwise would be, I think, because of the larger context of what's not going on locally in sports.
So there's no
and
sense.
And it's okay.
Well, no, I'm asking because I, you know, in the DePaul run, the last and the one we were talking about earlier, where were you doing play by play? I was, you know, 15 up somewhere else. You know, I mean, it was a different feeling for me. Mm-hmm. I knew about it. I was aware that I watched those games, but it was a different feeling. And I just think that there's something more to seize here than 3 or 4 days by one of these colleges, right? There's momentum. There's money to be grabbed. There's opportunity and notoriety to be had here.
Standing among people important in recruiting. If you're getting the attention of a kid whose attention you wouldn't otherwise get, if you're getting a phone call returned from an AAU coach,
right.
And if you start some of those pipelines and you start some of those relationships, that's why I mentioned, I'm not saying there isn't real value in this time.
Okay.
There is value. But history tells us that a program of that size from a conference like that, it just, how many Valpos... You know, what's an example of that? What's an example of somebody just happening to bubble up and then staying there for a while? And don't give me Gonzaga, because that's a major. Gonzaga has built itself into a major program.
How long,
high level recruiting.
How long do you want that program to have stayed there? Does Butler fit that conversation, or is that would you put them into a major too with the success they've had and the ability to recruit in that region?
I think that's a pretty good name. I think that's as far as a first response, but they're bigger than Loyola.
I agree completely. So the other side of this coin, though, at least for me, is, you know, as you recruit, especially, you know, whether you're Loyola, whether you're DePaul, or whether you're Northwestern or whatever, what I don't want to hear is, you know, if you're ready to grab the reins here and you're ready to run down, you know, and cut the nets down with Loyola, I don't want to hear that it should be so much easier to recruit because you're in Chicago. I don't think that is the case. And I don't think it's as easy as saying, look at all the talent in this city. Look at all the talent lying around. It, for a lot of kids, they don't want to stay home. For a lot of kids, whether it's here or really anywhere else, some kids are looking to get out of town.
Or if you're like my parents, you insist that they go as far away as possible.
Duke far enough? Dan, can you not find...
No, they said you're not...
Would Oxford not take you?
They don't... Man, stop bringing laundry back here. We don't want this. You're not going to... not even applying to Northwestern. Forget it.
Put
you're
an ocean
close.
Between you and your parents.
The hell out of here.
Parents and you.
Yeah, well, somebody just texted in who says, I'm Dartmouth guy. We never make the tournament. Yeah, you don't.
Nope.
And that was one of my first college visits, and I didn't want to go there.
I had a buddy who went to Dartmouth.
It's really far from everything.
Turned out, yeah, it's
you're like
very
deep
much.
In the Forbidden Woods.
They had some issues. I mean, a lot of those Ivy League colleges have, but some issues with, like...
suicide?
I don't know if at Dartmouth it's social clubs or if it's fraternities. I can't remember which they call them there. I know it's Harvard.
Oh, they
it's social clubs, right?
They drink hard at Dartmouth.
It gets real dark.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing around. Mm-hmm. No one's going to challenge you. And if you're that dude on campus or that girl for that matter, you can get after it and no one will stop you.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the Dartmouth NBA guys. I would say it's probably Walter Palmer, 7-footer, had a cup of coffee with the Jazz, who brother of former Duke player Crawford Palmer. And Crawford Palmer was the guy that Mike Krzyzewski ran off for being too smart. He was a double major in econ and Russian.
That's not just a hoops thing, by the way.
Oh, it's a football thing. Oh, sure.
It's a baseball thing.
It's a major sports thing.
It is absolute. Coaches can be, I don't know if intimidated is necessarily the right word, but put off by having to coach a guy who's clearly smarter than they are.
Right. And any actual student athlete, no real coach wants to deal with. They say they do, but they're lying. And maybe they'll keep a guy who helps the GPA of the total team and helps the overall average numbers. But, yeah, Crawford Palmer was run off for being too much of a student. And Dartmouth also had a point guard named James Blackwell, who got a cup of coffee in the NBA. He was a really tough little minor league and Euro player.
Was not drafted, but I can give you the 6 Dartmouth players drafted into the NBA.
Okay.
Let's just do it fast, right?
Yes,
Walter Palmer, Sterling Edmonds, James Brown, Alex Wynn, Rudy LaRusso, and in 1949, the first was Ed Leed.
Thank you, by the way, Jay Zawoski, for in the background. I don't know if you can hear the very quiet James Brown scream that was approximated by
one
Jay Zawoski. You got a lot of people want to jump in. 312-644-6767 and some resentful of saying, if I'm going to be that guy, I'm going to be that guy. And people telling stories about their own workplaces today.
Beautiful.
Because you can feel your productivity dropping. Well, if you want to do that, hell, get the hell out of your workplace and come join us here. We are at Deuce in Wrigleyville. Come hang out with the Bernstein and McKnight Show on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This segment is sponsored by Cece's. New crust, new sauce, New York-style pizza. Now at Cece's, grab an extra-large slice of their new meatball pepperoni pizza and new cheesecake brownies for dessert. There's so much to love on the buffet for just 5 and change. Only at Cece's. Prices vary. Restrictions apply. Everyone's weighing in on stories of their NCAA coworkers. And this Rudy says...
actual coworkers at the NCAA.
Says the best NCAA tournament time coworkers are the ones that are so overly into it, they take vacation for these 2 days and stay home. He said, I had a guy that ran our IT department. He was on call 24/7. He would email before the first game would tip saying, don't break anything. And if you do, don't call. I'll be entirely too drunk to fix it for the next 4 days. Well, if you're that drunk, you're not going to enjoy the games anyway, right? I mean, you got to moderate, don't you?
I was that guy. I've been that guy.
No.
I've taken days off to go watch the tournament. We were in the mid-20s. I think there was a trip to, you're going to love, a trip to St. Louis for Mardi Gras during the tournament 1 year.
Mardi Gras isn't in St. Louis.
Yeah, I know. I know. We went.
Mardi Gras in New Orleans.
I'm fully aware of that.
I think we're here. Was it like Columbus thinking it was in India?
We made it.
These are all Indians.
I declare this, New Orleans.
Right. New Orleans.
Mardi Gras may commence.
New Orleans smells
Bring
funny.
Me the finest tournament games.
New Orleans pizza sucks.
I will have that giant red drink. I don't care what you're calling it. I'll have it all.
The New Orleans Cardinals.
Terrible decisions of a mid-20s guy who didn't actually have vacation days or insurance. So I told Mitch I was leaving. Went to
Mardi Gras. In
we had a friend. One of my friends. One of my friend's sisters was going to wash and doing that, and she just had a place to stay, so it was free.
That's like making a pilgrimage to Mecca. Like, you're in a Hajj, but you end up in Jacksonville.
Is Ranji just there? Like, Box, this isn't New Orleans.
Box, you missed it. I'm not proud of this. All right, I'm absolutely not proud of this. I enjoyed my time there. I watched things happen that I really didn't think could happen.
Just the idea of a trip that takes place in a very specific place, and you choose to go to a completely different place.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. There's a parade. It starts in Soulard. It's around the ballpark. You walk around. It's very drunk. It's very awful. And we made fun out of it.
Low rent, like, non-equity production of Mardi Gras.
That's what happened. That's what happens when you're working for what I was working for, making the insurance, the whole thing. You find the cheapest trip you can.
And then it was for watching games?
Yeah, it was for the entirety of the experience. We went up to Milwaukee one year and took a few days off and just bopped around bars up there and found a bunch of tournament games.
We went to Milwaukee Summerfest by going to Peoria.
Yes, quite a time. Tom Petty was there.
Yep.
So I'm still filling out the bracket. Okay. Mostly because, not because I think I know something about the bracket, but it's because I'm the kind of guy who can walk up to a salad bar and just put everything on the plate, and I'm paralyzed by choice, right? That's the salad bar conundrum.
Yeah, you have to go by the Doug Buffone rules on that. He always had a way to work over a buffet or a salad bar. Yeah, the strategy,
but what to set
on top of what and how to maximize your opportunity there.
The handful of times I talked with Doug, and they were awesome times, we mostly talked about line stunts how to pound the table. We never talked about the salad bar, and I
life wisdom
regret that.
Yep.
So I'm looking at it, and I'm kind of going through, especially the South region, right, where you've got Virginia and you've got Cincinnati as a 2 seed and Tennessee a little bit too. And we talked to Tim Doyle about this yesterday, and we'll probably talk with Sam Vecenie about it coming up at 10:40. There's a lot of defense in those regions. And when we talked about Loyola, too, and shooting 40% from three and playing a little lockdown defense themselves, I wonder if that region specifically and if this tournament more overall sets itself up for a situation where you've got like a Princeton that just happens to shoot the lights out one night, or a Davidson that, you know, obviously it had Steph Curry, but because you've got teams, these high-ranked teams, like I think it's Cincinnati, McCronin's group specifically, plays a bunch of D and hopes shots go down, or Virginia, who's without because of an injury, and they're just hoping shots go down some lockdown D, that you've got a chance for some of these mid-major teams, some of these 15s or 14s, to actually just come into a day where you do make shots.
So maybe what you're talking about, too, is when we talk about points per possession, where in a game with fewer possessions, every shot has more meaning. And that's what I've heard that said about Virginia, that the moment the game starts, it always feels like a must possession. Where
for Virginia or for whom?
In the game, yeah. Because there's going to be fewer possessions, everything matters more. And it's like you watch the Golden State Warriors and a 9-point lead, a 9-point deficit doesn't mean
just
anything.
Evaporates.
You've got it's inflation.
Yeah.
And when you have deflation, then you're making me do math here, but there you have by definition higher volatility.
Yeah.
Because 3 points in a 42-40 game means more than 3 points in an 82-80 game.
And if you're one of these mid-major teams who has specifically recruited guys because they can, they have more specific skill sets, right? They have to. The bigger schools get prospects who can do more, players who can do everything, whereas you might have, you know, spot up 3 kid that just hits this shot with his eyes closed because that's what he does, what he was recruited to do.
And Ali Farouk Manesh.
That guy.
Yep.
That was one of my more favorite tournament runs. That pull-up three in transition.
Cover of Sports Illustrated, right?
God.
And I thought we found him. I think we had this discussion at one point where we did Where in the World is Ali Farouk Manesh? And he's...
Where was he?
I don't remember. Okay. And I don't know. I think he's in St. Louis
pulling up an in transition threes in St. Louis.
I think a couple years ago he did the video going back to Kansas like, hey, do you remember this guy's name? And it was him interviewing random people.
Oh, so he was asking people if they remembered who he was. He was standing right in
front
of them.
Yeah, like, hey, you remember this Ali Farouk Manesh guy? And they're like, oh, I hate that guy. And then he'd say who he was.
Aaron Judge did something like that earlier.
Matt Harvey did something exactly like that in his first year. He was asking people, do you know who Matt Harvey is? Sometimes he had trouble remembering who Matt Harvey was at that point in his fame.
But Aaron Judge is 6'7".
Tough to not know that 6'7 dude is Aaron Judge.
It was an NBC thing in New York, and at one point he's talking to this woman. She's like, yeah, I really like Aaron Judge. And he says, some people say I look like him. And they said, nah, I don't know. And he puts on a Yankee hat. And he says, what about now? And it's like,
I don't see it.
Right. I don't think so.
I don't see it.
And I thought it might be an actor, but not. We're going to have some baseball talk coming up a little bit.
About Aaron Judge, actually, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And I also have some questions about the aftermath of what happened with Jake Arrieta, especially after, now he has spoken, we know what the market is doing, and there was something written about it yesterday that I kind of wanted to sort through about what we think about athletes, particularly thoughtful and aware and established veteran athletes when certain things happen with their money. We're going to get into that. We're going to continue previewing the tournament. We got some terrific text responses here about the tournament people that you deal with around. And, man, if these are real stories.
You can find them all in St. Louis for Mardi Gras.
And I've made people mad saying that St. Louis is a great Mardi Gras town. It's just not where Mardi Gras is.
We had a blast. I'll show you the pictures.
Okay. Well, okay. If they contain moments that you don't remember until you see the pictures, they're
good
pictures.
Some of them are a lot akin to a Stanley Cup celebration, to be quite honest with you.
Ah.
Yeah.
Like an actual Blackhawks Stanley Cup celebration?
A little bit.
Because then everybody's... Then you got some exposure there.
We saw some things.
Both literal and figurative.
We saw some things.
Okay. All right. That's Connor McKnight. This is the new Bernstein and McKnight Show middays. Lots to come on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.